Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Joining a long line of actors who are also passionate about their music, including Billy Bob Thornton, Jeff Bridges, Kevin Bacon, and Kevin Costner, to name a few, 20-year-old Spencer Breslin is marking the release of his debut album, Labor Day. Breslin has been working in Hollywood since he was a young child, having appeared in films and TV shows such as Meet the Parents, The Santa Claus 2 and 3, The Cat in the Hat, The Happening, Bones, and several others. We already know that Breslin comes from a creative family. His brother Ryan was on Broadway in Newsies this year, and sister Abigail was nominated for an Oscar for her performance in Little Miss Sunshine. While continuing his acting career, Breslin has found time to establish his own record label, Acadian Recordings, which is putting out Labor Day. Breslin cites artists such as The Clash, The Stones, Iggy Pop, and Warren Zevon as his influences, but for my money, his album sounds like a grandnephew to After the Gold Rush. Spencer Breslin, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hey, thank you for having me, Ian.
What brought you to put this album out, and where did you find time to make the music?
It's sort of a long story. I'll make it short for you. Back in New York, there was always a great music scene, during my high school years. And I joined a bunch of different bands. I was really into playing punk rock music, and so I joined a few different punk bands in high school, and, we would play shows all around New York City at the various clubs, Knitting Factory and stuff like that, and I got, really into it. I always liked listening to it, but then, when I figured out, okay, you can be in a band and you can write music, it was something really cool for me because, as an actor, it's more like you're doing other people's work, and then, when you figure out you can, I can make something too, and I can have a certain degree of control over it. It was exciting. So I met this guy from Scotland, this musician, he's actually from England, was in Scotland, James William Hindle, and he was a fan of the music and he was a fan of some of the work I'd done as an actor. And so we started emailing back and forth from New York to Scotland, and great folk singer, singer-songwriter type guy. And, I started writing some songs more down that line. And, I said, do you think you'd want to make a record with me? And so he said, yeah, I'd love to. And, a couple of months later, it was really quick. We were in the studio recording this album, and, he was producing it, and I was singing all these songs I'd written. So, it was kind of weird how it worked out, but it was kind of perfect in a way.
Did you teach yourself to play, or how did you learn how to play?
I got a guitar, and then I just, started playing off music I was listening to very poorly. And then I got a chord book, and, I figured out the whole, the chords and very simple scales and everything like that. And then I started working with this guy, Jason, in New York, who now actually plays in my sister has a band right now, and, he's playing with her now. But, I took lessons with him for a while, and then it just kind of went on more of the self-teaching route. So, mainly self-taught, but, with some lessons.
Did you write all the lyrics for the album, or did you have any collaborators with that?
I did. I 100% wrote 10 out of the 11 songs on the record, and then there's a song on there called A German in New York, which I co-wrote with my producer, James Hindle. He wrote the music, and I wrote the lyrics to it, and the rest you can blame on me.
And did you play all the instruments, too?
No. I played guitar, harmonica, and organ on one song. And then we had a really great group of kind of rotating musicians, who played for a lot of great bands who, just happened to be around. We recorded at a place called Marlboro Farms in Brooklyn, New York. And, it's a studio that's done a lot of great work for, a bunch of different bands. A lot of the, Elephant Six bands like, Neutral Milk Hotel and of Montreal. And so it's a studio with great history for, independent music and just great musicians walking through all the time. So it was sort of like, hey, do you want to play on this record? You're hanging out upstairs in the kitchen. And they're like, yeah, sure. And, they'll just come down from the kitchen into the basement and start jamming to the music. So it was really cool that it worked out. We got really, really lucky with the caliber of talent on this record.
How come you called it Labor Day, Spencer?
I have no idea. I guess I do have sort of an idea. The title track, my family was having a Labor Day barbecue, and I was kind of bored, and I went into my room, and I wrote the title track, and it was Labor Day, and so I called it Labor Day. It just kind of seemed right for the song.
What is up to here? On Labor Day it goes. wandering. You don't know where you're at. I see the frightened look.
And then when we got into the studio, we were, you know, thinking of names for the record. And, you know, we kept listening to Labor Day, and we were like, wow, you know, this kind of, I think it kind of has enough force and, you know, enough, you know, kick to be the title track. And so we just kind of went with it.
What do you want to do with it? Do you tour, you know, will you promote the CD, or is this something that you do in between acting gigs?
I think it's, I wouldn't say in between acting gigs or anything. It's sort of, you know, because I take the music, I'd say, as seriously as I take the acting. And I like keeping myself busy with a lot of things at once. So it's sort of like, you know, I'm not really making time for one thing. It's just kind of like all these different things like acting and music consume my time. So, you know, I definitely think that there will be a tour pretty soon. We're planning one. Going to promote the record and see what happens, you know, and hope people like it.
Now, do you think your notoriety as an actor will help you or hurt you? And I ask that question because a lot of times it seems like kind of actors will put out an album and then their fame helps them push it, but they're never taken as seriously as musicians as they want to be.
Yeah, you know, it's that's a really good question. Definitely the fact that I'm an actor and I'm known as an actor, I think people might look up the album just out of curiosity. Okay, you know, I've seen this kid in some stuff before. Let's see how the music is. I mean, I think people will be curious if they do know my name. And, you know, as far as a lot of people not taking me seriously because I'm an actor, you know, that's something that's totally out of my control. So I don't even really care about that. That is what it is. You know, I write these songs and I play them because I enjoy it, and, you know, I enjoy writing. I get a lot of fulfillment out of writing, and so if other people happen to like it, then that's great. You know, so I take myself seriously, not too seriously, you know, because then you go crazy, but, you know, maybe other people will, too, as a result of that, but that's out of my control, you know?
How do you go about founding a record label?
I don't know. It's really weird. You know, I don't want to say anyone could do it in this day and age, but I guess you kind of can. You know, digital music, I think, is a really great thing. A lot of people don't like it and say, you know, well, you know, records are cool and CDs are cool. And yeah, I mean, records, I have a record collection, I have a CD collection, but digital is kind of the way of the future, and it's the most convenient thing. So, you know, founding kind of a digital, you know, a mainly digital record label is really kind of the way to go. It gives you total control over your music, and, you know, I'm working with the people at The Orchard, and they're really awesome. And they're handling digital distribution for Acadian. So that's just kind of how it went. It just was like, all right, I want to start a label. And so, you know, I just kind of did it. And, you know, I made some mistakes along the way, but, you know, it's really early on. And it's going to be a cool kind of adventure, I think, as it continues, you know, as we put more records out.
When you grow up as an actor, you were working pretty much all the time from a very young age. Are there things that you want to do that you haven't been able to throughout your years? You're 20 years old, so
yeah,
you're able to have a bit more independence. But what do you want to do that you haven't been able to accomplish yet or that you haven't tried out?
I want to do everything. You know, I did a film called Raising Helen with the great director Gary Marshall. And, you know, he created a lot of great sitcoms in the 70s, Happy Days and, you know, The Odd Couple and Laverne and Shirley. I mean, I think he's, you know, one of the smartest guys out there. And he wrote in this book, he had this book come out, you know, a long time ago. And, you know, I read it while I was filming Raising Helen with him. And he sort of said, you know, as an actor, do everything. As a writer, do everything. As a director, do everything. So I kind of want to do everything. You know, I've taken that as sort of my one major lesson is do everything that you possibly can. So, you know, I want to direct films. I'm, you know, that's something I've wanted to do since, you know, I first walked on a set. You know, I did a movie called The Kid, and that was my first major role. And, the director, John Turteltaub, was sort of, you know, my idol on set. And, you know, I really wanted to direct since then. And now I'm directing. You know, I'm getting ready to direct a short film. And then, you know, hopefully a couple of features I have written after that. So I want to, you know, continue to pursue my ambitions in film and music to the fullest. That's what I get the most out of. I really enjoy making art. You know, so I want to continue to do that.
What did you learn about directing from being on the other side of the camera as an actor?
I learned that some directors are really great at communicating with actors, and some directors are really bad at it. And actors are sensitive people, and they need good communication with their director. You know, it's like a captain of a ship needs to communicate to his first mate and all the other sailors on it. And so I sort of, I feel like that's really important. And then, just kind of, you see certain guys once in a while when you work on a movie that have a really clear vision of what they want. And I think that's probably the most important thing, is someone who has a vision. I think it's the same thing with the record. Musicians with a strong vision make the records that I like to listen to, and same thing with producers. It's sort of weird, having a strong vision, I think, is a really important thing, and being able to communicate with other people properly is a biggie.
What's it like being in a family where everyone has such big careers?
I think it's cool. I mean, in family life, when we're all together, it doesn't really factor in much. It's not like, we're sitting there talking about acting or anything like that, but it's really cool because, you have, when my sister's working on a movie or I'm working on a movie, there's sort of a level of understanding because she's an actor and I'm an actor, and, we can kind of give off a little bit of encouragement to each other because it's kind of like, all right, well, I know that job really well too, so that's cool. It makes for one heck of a support system, I think.
Are you ever competitive with each other?
The thing is, it would be kind of weird for me to be competitive with a 16-year-old girl, so no, we're not really competitive, just because we're totally, different genders, different acting styles, different, totally different people. Yeah, I mean, the competition thing doesn't really come into play. It's just kind of 100% encouragement on both ends. It's really nice.
There have been a lot of child actors and actors who started young who weren't able to transition, or they didn't find as much work in later years. How are you able to combat that? How are you working on keeping your acting career going?
By constantly putting myself out there and auditioning, and continuing to work. I mean, I think that's the kind of the worst death of any actor is, not working. You'll find some people, maybe the transition was tough, and then, it just, it stopped working out for them, and, it's kind of like, all right, well, that's over, and it's never really been over for me. I still have a lot of unfinished business. I might be old at 20 or something like that, but, I want to continue to work for the next 50 years, so my, solution to that is just, continue to work, continue to audition, and, if things aren't hot at one moment, they're going to be hot down the line. So it's kind of like, don't give up in that sense and just keep on going, if that makes any sense.
And you always knew that you wanted to be an actor? I mean, since you started so young.
Yeah, I mean, I started at 3, and I was a really hyper toddler. I was kind of, people call me Bam Bam because I was really kind of nuts. A scout approached my mom in a playground. Sometimes in New York, they'll send out talent scouts to all the playgrounds around the city and look for, cute kids who would be funny in commercials and stuff like that. And so they asked if I wanted to do a commercial. And so, my mom said, yeah, sure, we'll try it. She was really hesitant about it because you hear the stories, And I really enjoyed it. And, I wanted to do it. And so when the director told me to, all right, get ready, then for some reason, I don't know if it's selective hearing or just that I was really enjoying myself, I kind of snapped out of the hyper craziness and went into focus mode. It was kind of the thing that, it gave me some focus in a way that other things couldn't. So from then on, I really enjoyed it. From the first commercial I ever did, I enjoyed acting. I knew that I wanted to keep doing it, and I never really saw it as a job. And that's, I think, the greatest thing is to, not see your work as a job. I mean, I think that's a dream of a lot of people. So, I'm a really lucky guy in that sense. I really enjoy my work.
Is that also true for the music side of your career?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it as work. I write songs in my apartment and then I get to play them for people, it's crazy. And sometimes they'll even pay to see it, That's like, it amazes me, it's not work. It's something that's a lot of fun that for some reason I've been lucky enough to get to do as a profession, and so many other people want to do it. And it's just it's unbelievable. It's really, really cool.
Well, the name of the album is Labor Day. Our guest has been Spencer Breslin, who appears in films and television. Spencer, it's been a real pleasure to spend this time with you. I wish you good luck on the music side, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks so much for having me on the show, Ian.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.